Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Why don't you find Proverbs chapter 3 if you have a Bible with you. Proverbs chapter 3. And I'm going to start, I don't know how many services I'll be on this, but I'm going to start a series on trusting in the Lord. And each message is going to be a little different. This morning, we're going to talk about this, keeping God as your source. Everybody say, keeping God as your source. How many know He's the source of all things? Everything on this earth, how many know every good thing is from God, right? Bible says every good and perfect gift came down from God, you know, from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness nor shadow of changing. He doesn't wake up one day's grumpy. You know, next day's all right. How many know He's the same, right? And everything here, He made it. It's all His. You know, sometimes we hear about we've even got a restaurant in town here called the Big Bang, you know. And, you know, it's a good restaurant. But how many know if there was a bang, it's because God banged it. He spoke and bang. And there we go. Amen. But, you know, I just think about all of the things that are on the earth, man. I mean, all of the fish that are in the rivers and the seas. You know what I'm saying? There's just multitudes of variety. I mean, I was fishing on the river when I was a kid. I was probably a teenager, and I caught a fish. I'd never seen it before in my life. I fished on the river, you know, as a kid, we'd fish in a boat, you know, a little smaller John boat, and go out there and fish and stuff. I caught a fish one day. I'd never seen the thing. It looked like a shark. I'm thinking, what is this thing? It was a brown-looking fish, and found out later on it was a sturgeon. And I'd never caught one before in all my years. You know, I've caught gars, you know. Any guys ever caught a gar? Man, they're not happy when you bring them out of the water. I mean, they're hissing and snapping. They got teeth. No, I don't take them off the hook. I just cut the line. I'm not sticking anything near them guys. But, you know, just all the variety that's there. Just all the, you know, I was in Africa preaching. I don't remember what year it was. Might have been 2022. And afterwards, you know, when we got done with the meetings, we had like about 2 weeks of meetings thereabout. And after they were over with, the missionary said, "You guys want to go on a safari?" Well, yeah, absolutely. Let's go. Well, he already asked us, but you want to go on a safari when we get down to meet? You bet, man. I want to go see that, man, and get out there and see all those variety of animals, just thousands of them. We were turning this corner one morning. We were heading down to I don't know what lake it was, but some lake there in Africa. We were going around this corner, and bam, right there in front of us were like 50 elephants. You're like, whoa, that was something to behold, I'm telling you. And you see all that variety. How many know God's the source of all of that? He's the source of all the silver, all the gold, right? All the wealth in the earth. God's the source of it, not the devil. God made it. How many read the book of Genesis? That settles it for me when it says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I'm done asking questions about who did it. I know who did it. Well, yeah, but I went to school. I did too, and they taught me different things about it. I don't believe that. I believe what God said about it. Hallelujah. Don't you think anything's evolving now? No, I think a lot of things are, I don't know if this is a word or not, devolving, getting worse. But, you know, thank God, God's our source. Amen? Amen? So we're going to be talking about trusting the Lord, you know, and just talking about that for a while. But we'll talk about different things this morning. We'll talk about keeping God as your source. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. This is going to be our foundation scripture for probably all the messages. We may read this every time. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord, or rely on, take refuge in, have confidence in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding." How many of you can't figure it all out, right? And so sometimes we try to figure out, well, how God's going to do this. You don't know how God's going to do things. Just don't lean on your understanding and try to figure out, well, how could it happen? Well, it can happen because it's God. Right? God's big enough to do anything. I mean, He parts seas. How many know that? I mean, he causes water to come out of a rock. He causes manna to come down from heaven. Amen? I mean, you know, he does. Jesus spit, touched the guy's tongue, and it got loosed. God's got a lot of ways to bring things to you, doesn't he? Amen. I was in a meeting one time years ago. A friend of mine was preaching, and he's an evangelist. And this lady, he said, you know, he called this word out. Somebody here has problems with her, I believe, ankle it was. And there wasn't any doubt this lady had problems with her ankle because she's hobbling up there. You know what I'm saying? She's hobbling up there. And, you know, those were the days us preachers wore cowboy boots. You know? And that was the thing back then. And he said, stick your leg out. And I thought, oh, brother, this doesn't look good. He kicked her in that ankle. And she went, ah, and jumped up and down and was totally healed. I don't recommend doing that unless God tells you to do that or you're liable to get punched. That's an unusual manifestation, isn't it? But I saw her get healed. There wasn't any doubt the lady was healed. I saw how she walked up there, and I saw how she left. She left well. Well, I don't know about you. If I got a problem, you know, and you kick me and I get healed, I'm good with it. Hallelujah. Well, Jesus never used violence. Well, he spit on a guy one time, and I think I'd rather get kicked than spit on. I'm not telling you to go out and do that because if not God, you're going to get in trouble. But how many know God's got a variety of ways to bring things to you? Isn't that right? You know, there's just because he's the source. Hallelujah. And so the Lord just put this, you know, this teaching on my heart. Talk about this trusting in the Lord. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. You can't figure things out. How many know that? You know, you have a hard enough time just keeping your life in a natural together. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. In other words, let Him be a part of your everyday life, and He shall direct your paths. Woo, hallelujah. In other words, He'll be the source for your direction. He'll guide you. He'll direct you. How many know His way is better than your way? Now go to Jeremiah 17. I'm going to look at a few scriptures this morning. I don't know how many, but we'll see. Jeremiah 17, go there. Jeremiah 17, just talking about God being your source, keeping Him as your source. My goodness, He's got ways. You know, He can get, how many know He can get tax money out of a fish's mouth? I've never thought of that one, would you? Go down, cast in the hook, first fish that comes out, look in its mouth. That'd make me want to look in every fish's mouth from now on, wouldn't it, you? I mean, check it out. But how many know God's got a multitude of ways, doesn't He? Now, how'd that happen? Well, I don't know. Supposing that coin was dropped in the water and the Lord spoke to that fish, go swallow that up, then bite Peter's hook and give him the money. Amen. And so, like what one minister said, he said, when you look at that, he said, the first fish, that means God intended for him to get some more. Peter probably got so excited he threw the fish back in. And there went dinner. How many know something? God's an overflow God. How many know that? I mean, people say, well, that's just... How many know sometimes we get limited thinking by thinking in the natural. We think, well, you know, I mean, that's a little extravagant. Well, wait a minute. No, there's a difference between extravagant and wasteful, and God just overflowing, right? Having if God's overflowing, it's not wasteful. Amen. Amen. You know, sometimes people, you know, think, well, you spent too much on that meeting, Pastor. Well, what if somebody got saved? What if somebody got delivered? Well, how much price can you put on the anointing of God? Right? Well, it just costs too much to have them in. Well, wait a minute. What if God said have them in? Amen. A lady said to me, minister, woman minister one time, she called me and asked me if I'd come and preach for her. This was years ago, back in the 90s, early 90s. She said, would you come and preach for me? And she said, somebody in my church gave me some of your cassettes in those days, gave me some of your cassettes, and I wondered if you'd come and preach for me. And I said, well, sure, I'll come. And so I did and went and preached for her. And she told me after the service, maybe a couple times after I'd preached for her, or three or four, whatever it was. She spoke to me and she said, you know, she said, I called this minister to come, national known minister, well known, good man, loves God. She said, I called him to come and ask him if he'd come to my city. And he said, sure, I'd love to come to your city. And said, let me put you through to my crusade department and they'll tell you how much it's going to cost and all, you know, not that he's demanding anything, you know, it's just it costs money to get there, you know. Come on, you're with me. It costs money to get there. And so, you know, he put her through the crusade department and they said, well, you know, to get him there and bring all the stuff that we need, it costs so many thousands of dollars to do that and all. And she said, well, I don't have that kind of money. And so she told me, she said, you're my Jerry Savelle, you're my Kenneth Copeland. I'm your low budget preacher. I can get here for $5. I could get there for $5 now. But in those days, I could get there for $5, you know. So I was her low budget. And it wasn't that this other minister was demanding anything out of her. You know, he was willing to go. But, you know, it just takes money sometimes to get him there, you know. And I'm sure if she'd have said, knowing this guy, if she'd have said, I don't have any money, he probably would have come anyway and said, well, we'll take care of it. But, you know, she wanted to do the honorable thing and pay for it, you know. Amen. But God's our source, amen? Yeah. God's our source. Now, look at this in Jeremiah 17, verse 5. For thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusts in man and makes flesh his armor, his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. How many know if you're trusting in men, you're already walking in the curse? You're already in the curse. Why don't we understand? Well, you got to look to God. God's our source. Amen. He says, this is what he'll be like. For he shall be like a heath in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, or a bush out in the desert. You know, anybody watch Westerns like I do? You know, every time they get ready to go through the desert, you know what's going to happen, don't you? I mean, they are going to run out of water, right? And, you know, they'll cut a cactus to get some water out of it, you know. And so, you know, you don't want to be that shrub out in the desert, right? How many would rather not be out in the desert? He shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit parched places in the wilderness in a salt land and not inhabited. Now, I have in my Bible by this verse, because I spiritualized this, and I think you can do that, not inhabited by the Spirit of God. See, the Spirit of God's not moving where we're trusting in flesh. And how many know He's the power of God, right? He's the one that causes the Word of God to come to pass. How many of the Bible tells us this? Y'all have seen this in Ephesians chapter 6, where it says the sword of the Spirit, which is the, anybody know? What's the sword of the Spirit? The Word of God. So you have to have the Spirit's sword is the Word of God. Well, how many know? We're the ones that puts the sword in His hand by speaking the Word. See, a lot of times people, well, the Holy Ghost just does on. If the Holy Spirit was doing everything on His own, we'd be in a much better place than we are. Can I get a witness? How many know that's true? We'd be in a much better place than we are right if He was doing it all Himself. Right? How many know the Bible calls Him, you know, the King James calls Him the Comforter. The New King James calls Him the Helper. How many know what a helper does? A helper helps, but that means you got to be doing something. Amen? You know, I've told you before, I was hired on a job as a helper one time, years ago. I didn't know anything about the job. I just saw the ad in the paper. I was 20 years old or 19. I just saw the ad in the paper, answered it, went to it, got hired. First day at work, the guy said to me, he said, you know why I hired you? I'm thinking, well, it wasn't because I knew anything. Because I didn't. You know, it was about heating and air conditioning and plumbing and that kind of thing. And at that time, I didn't know anything about it. I do now. I didn't then. but he said, I hired you because you were the only one that came to the interview dressed up. Listen to that, young people. I said, listen to that. He said, that's why I hired you, because you came dressed up to the interview. Nobody else did. I thought, well, thank God I came dressed up. You know, first day on the job, you know, he asked me, go get a part for him. He said, go get I think it was like a copper fitting or maybe it was a galvanized fitting. He said, go get me a a three-quarter is either male or female fitting. I was so dumb, I didn't know fittings had sexes. I just thought it was a piece of pipe. That's how dumb I was at that time. So I went out and grabbed a fitting and took it to him, gave it to him, and he didn't say anything. He used it. I thought, that must be a whatever it was, a male or female. Now I figured it out. Amen. This is deep, isn't it? Praise God. But you know, you understand, see, God's got a multitude of ways, and we don't need to lean to our own understanding, and we don't need to trust in man. Amen? Because how many know, listen to this, people will always let you down. That went over big. Let's back this up a little bit. You've let people down. You may not even intended to do it. You may not even knew you did it, but you do it because you're people. There's only one that's the true source. That's God. Amen. Right? Amen. People say, so I'm going to get happy. I'm going to get married, so I'll be happy. How many know that doesn't guarantee happiness? Amen. How many know you better be happy before you get married? And God better be your source, amen? Now notice this, because if you don't, how many know, if you're looking at people to make you happy or supply your need, you're going to get disappointed. Because God never intended it that way. Look at this, verse 7. He says, blessed, everybody say blessed. Blessed is a man that trusts in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. How many know, when you trust in the Lord, you're blessed. He shall, this is what you'll be like, he or she shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreads out her roots by the river and shall not see, or some translations say fear, when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful or anxious in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Hallelujah. Well, what would you rather be, a heath in the desert or a tree by the river? I'll be a tree by the river. How about you? You ever notice the trees by the river, they're doing pretty good. Why? Because their roots are tapped into the river. That's what it's like to trust in God. Your roots will be like tapped into the river. There's a continual source. Hallelujah. God is our source. He's the source of all things. He's the source of joy. See, sometimes people think of, if my circumstances get right, I'll have joy. No, not true joy. You have relief. I heard one minister say one time they were needing some amount of money for his church, you know. Or maybe it's for his ministry. I think he was a traveling minister. He needed so much money. He said, I got this letter in the mail, and he said it had the money in there that I needed. He said, man, I started shouting, carrying on, and the Lord said, that's not joy, that's relief. You're just glad the pressure's over. See, if you got true joy, how many of you shout before the envelope comes? Hello? You shout before you see anything because you believe, right? When the Gabriel came to Mary, you know, and said, you know, highly favored of the Lord. You know, the King James uses the word hail, highly favored of the Lord. That word hail means rejoice, highly favored of the Lord. Go ahead and rejoice. Hallelujah. Because what God's about to say to you, it's already a done deal. Hallelujah. You know, kids are that way. How many know kids, they will rejoice at your word just as much as the manifestation. I mean, if you tell your child you're going to take them someplace, you know, maybe, what's a good place kids like to go? Swimming? Yep. Chuck E. Cheese's. I like Chuck E. Cheese, but... Chuck E. Cheese, I used to have to go there. I remember that. Kids, what's that? Holiday World. How many of you tell them you're going to take them? How many of they get excited immediately, don't they? They don't wait to say, well, I'll believe it when I see it. I'll wait to shout, Dad, when we're there. How many of you just say, you're staying home, Brett. Right? They don't do that, do they? They're excited immediately, right? Now, I know this wouldn't happen, but just say, God forbid, a tornado came through town, blew your house apart, took your car over into Illinois, how many of the kids, first thing they're going to say is, we're still going, aren't we? Right? They don't see obstacles. They just see promises. Amen? And you might have a genuine, you know, obstacle getting in the way of where you were going to take them, but they don't see obstacles. They see promises. That's what Jesus said, you got to become like little children. Where we don't see the obstacles, we see the promises. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is our source. And if we trust in Him, we're like the tree by the river. Amen. Our roots go into that river. We're constantly drinking of the water. Praise God. But if you're not, if you're trusting flesh to take care of you, to put you over, you know, guess what? You're going to dry up. The Spirit of God can't move in that. Come on, are you with me this morning? All right. See, understand that, you know, we have, right now, I don't mean this offensive, but it is the truth. We have raised probably more than one generation of entitlement-minded people. It's owed to me. How many know that that's a problem, right? Because that's one reason why our country's so in debt. Is because of this entitlement mentality. People want the government taking care of them. Now, I'm not talking about you getting your Social Security's check. How many know they act like they're doing you a favor by giving you that check that's your money, right? Isn't that right? And they're like, well, we're doing you a big favor by giving you that. Well, let me just tell you something, brother. I've been paying on that for years. It's my money, all right? So, but how many know we shouldn't look at the government as our source? God's our source. Now, you know, we keep talking about, you know, this is unstable, that's unstable. I don't know about all that. You know, they've been saying that for years. I don't know really, you know, how much of that is accurate, how much is not. Really, the thing of it is regardless of what happens, God's still my source. Now, He may use different avenues. He may use different venues. And if one, how many know, if one avenue dries up, God's got another one. Right? Remember when Elijah, you know, he prophesied about it's not going to rain? Only problem is he has to live there, right? And so, he, you know, the Lord says, now you go down by the brook and a raven will bring you food in the morning and food in the evening. Think about that. That's a pretty good source, isn't it? A meat-eating bird brings you, right? All right, so we see that. But how many know the brook dried up? How many know the avenue dried up? But the source didn't dry up. God said, go to this widow woman. He goes there. He said, I've commanded her to feed you. Well, obviously, she hadn't heard from God because, you know, God can tell you things, but, you know, you're not here, right? And I don't think she picked up on it until the man of God showed up. You know, he said, well, what are you doing? She said, well, I got, you know, I'm gathering a couple of sticks. I'm going to make two cakes. My son and I are going to eat it. We're going to die. That doesn't sound like a woman expecting to live, does it? You know, and the prophet says, well, bring me a little bit to drink, will you? Yeah, she's going to get it. He says, hey, bring me a cake first. Sound like a preacher, doesn't it? CNN would have been on 24-hour news. Preacher takes widow's last biscuit. Televangelist takes widow's last biscuit. Well, you know, she did what he said, and he said, thus saith the Lord, the barrel of meal shall not waste, nor the cruse of oil fail. And it lasted them all during the drought. So how many, that was a different avenue, but still the same source. Right. Amen. Right. So don't, just, you know, because you have an avenue, say, well, I lost my job, Pastor. Well, that was an avenue. God's got another one. I said, God's got another one. I said, God's got another one. He's the source. Amen. Look with me at Philippians chapter 4. Go there. Come on, are you getting anything this morning? Just talking about God's our source. I know we're looking at some scripture, but I think it's good. Philippians chapter 4, go there. We know this scripture, but let's read it again. Philippians 4. So you put your trust in man, you're in a cursed spot. You're already under the curse. You got to put your trust in God. Amen. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Anybody read this scripture before? But my God, everybody say, my God shall supply all you need according to his riches and glory by the current economy. By what? Well, how many by Christ Jesus? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, isn't he? That means this never changes. This is the supply that doesn't change. Don't care who's in office. Don't care what the economy's like. Don't care what's happening. This doesn't change. It remains the same. Hallelujah. And, you know, if you'll just ignore a lot of that, it won't affect you. A lot of that talk about, you know what I'm saying? You start having faith for that. You keep hearing that. I mean, it's okay to stay informed, but you can overdose on the news. It can start affecting you, right? And, you know, Phyllis, like I've told you before, Phyllis always knew when I was watching too much of the news. She goes, what you been doing? Because she could tell there's like a fighting spirit on me. Not fighting with her, but, you know, I'm just looking for somebody that I thinks stupid and just so I can slap them or something. But in love, you know that, of course. How many are following what I'm saying? But how many, you can hear all this negativity, you know, hey, the economy's going to crash, you know, and this is, you know, all these prophets of Baal. Come on. They're on the network news every day, prophets of Baal, prophesying for Baal. But God is our source. And he said he would supply all of our need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Sometimes we think we got bad government. You should have been around in Paul's days. They had some bad government in those days. And so, you know, ours isn't the greatest. I know that. But God. The psalmist said, Psalm 20, he said, some trust in horses, some trust in chariots, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. We rely on the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Well, what's the name of the Lord? Well, think about his name. How many know he's called Jehovah Jireh? The Lord our provider. How many know he's called Jehovah Rapha? The Lord our healer, our physician, our doctor. How many know he knows how to fix the human body? He made it, right? I mean, any guy that can cut you open and get a wife out of you, that's pretty good doctrine. Amen. And so you see, listen now. See, all those names, Jehovah Shalom? What's some of the other Old Testament names? Our peace, he's our peace, right? Zidkenu, our righteousness. Come on, anybody know some other ones? Jehovah Jireh, we talked about that one. He's our provider. Anybody got Nisi? That means he's our banner. He's our victory banner. Shalom, he's our peace. Well, how many know the children of Israel, they ran to those names and it was a strong tower. Well, how many know, you know, I was preaching on the names, all the names of God. There's like, I don't know, seven compound names, several different names, more than seven, but seven compound names. I was preaching on the name of God, you know, in the Old Testament. And then I came over the New Testament. We have the name of Jesus, which means Yahweh is salvation, which means it covers them all. And I was preaching on that, Brother John, in this church, you know, it was a Pentecostal church, you know, and I'm preaching on, you know, all these names. And then I said, the name of Jesus covers it all because it's the name that's above every name. Amen. Hallelujah. So it covers them all. It includes all of those Old Testament names. And this lady went, phew, I'm glad he said that because I didn't get those others. Well, if you don't get the others, how many of you get the name of Jesus? Yeah. Yahweh, the Lord, is our salvation. Whatever area, he's our salvation. Whatever we need, he's our deliverer. So, you know, my God, everybody say, my God, shall supply, say, all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, how many know sometimes your need isn't money? Right? You know, we take this for money, and that's what Paul's talking about right there. But you could bring this out broader. Hallelujah. You say, well, I need a spouse. Well, how about my God? How about let God pick you out one?
Amen.
Amen. You might pick out the wrong one. How many know that? Let me give you a word of knowledge. Matter of fact, I think this is a super duper word of knowledge. Don't pick out the wrong one. Let God pick them out. Sometimes we pick them out just by visuals. Man, that is the hairiest chest I've ever seen. That gold chain, that tan, that full set of hair. Honey, that's what I looked like. I never had a hairy chest. Don't tell everything.
Get it right.
Too much. I got Native American in me.
Indian. Yeah. Indian.
So, anyway, I didn't have the gold. Well, I might have had a gold chain. I don't know. But how many know all that changes, doesn't it?
It does.
Think about it. Hey, man, we had this couple. We did their... Phyllis and I did their wedding ceremony years ago. You know, I don't know, probably maybe 30 years or plus now. And it was over that. All right. And so anyway, they came here to a meeting we were having one time. And she had a picture of me and Phyllis and them together, you know, their ceremony, where I did the ceremony. I looked at that picture, you know. I looked up at them. I said, you guys have changed. Amen. How many know everything changes? But how many know God knows the right one, right? Amen. Now, all right, so let's go finally. Did you get anything today?
Yeah.
Let's go finally to Matthew chapter 18. How many know the Bible tells us, as you're finding Matthew 18, that we're to cast all our care over on the Lord? Right? Because He what?
Cares.
He what?
Cares.
He cares for us. Now, I don't know. Maybe you think quicker than I do. I'm sure you probably do. But one day it hit me when I'm reading that and it says, He cares for us. It hit me. Well, that must mean He's going to do something about it if He cares. And I thought, wow, why wouldn't I want to take God up on that deal where I can cast my care over on Him and Him take care of it? That's good stuff. But you notice it didn't say cast all your care over on your prayer partner, your best friend. Oh, I know what it says. Casting all your care on the pastor, for he cares for you. Well, that's true, but I might not be able to do anything about it. I'm just a man. Right? You need to go to some higher authorities. You know what I'm saying? I might be able to pray with you, agree with you, that's fine. But your source isn't me. The source is God. Right? See, I can't heal you, but He can. Amen. I might not even be able to meet your financial need. You may have so big I couldn't even help you, but He can. Amen. And so, you know, let's look at this in Matthew. I want to close right here, Matthew chapter 18. This is red letter. How many of this is Jesus talking? You know, when He goes to speaking, the words start turning red. They're hot. Amen. Look at this, verse 19. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father, which is in heaven. Who's the source for this? The Father is. And notice he said anything. Of course, you got to rightly divide that with the rest of the word. It's got to be scriptural, right? Can't ask for things that aren't scriptural. You know, like one guy got in prayer line, he asked the minister to agree with him for another wife. Well, this minister picked up real quick. He said, another wife? You got one? He said, yeah. And you want another one? He said, yeah. His wife was putting on too much weight, he said, or something like that. Yeah. He said, how many kids you had? He said, six. He said, do you pass six kids through your hips and see how much weight you put on? Get out of my line, you're a nut. That's the way he said it. It's pretty accurate, right?
Yeah.
How many know God's not going to agree with you on that, right? It has to be scripture, right? But notice, again, verse 19. Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree, you got to get somebody to agree with you, on earth as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be what? Everybody say what? Everybody say now? It's what? It's done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Well, how many know if it's done, it's done? What does that mean? It's done. That means it's we don't have to be concerned about it any longer. We don't have to pray about it any longer. It's done. We don't have to talk about it any longer. It's done. We can rejoice now, right? We can praise God, it's done. You know, you do a job, have you know, when it's done, it's done. You know, I mow my yard, you know. And when it's done, guess what? I don't go mow it again. Well, you know, I mow it again. You know, I just don't know. It might not be done. No, it's done. I can tell by looking at it. It's done. Amen. Come on, are you with me? See, we got to learn that now. Once we pray, if you really got somebody to agree with, you don't want somebody to, well, you know, I didn't think it. You know, you pray, and 2 days later, it had nothing happened. They say, well, I didn't much expect anything anyway. Well, they weren't agreeing with you. I said they weren't agreeing with you that it was done. Everybody say done.
Done.
It shall be done of them by my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, Jesus said, there am I in the midst. What does that mean? He's there to see the agreements carried out. He's right there. Hallelujah. See, this is where sometimes, and I think all of us probably been guilty of it, where we pray about something and we get somebody to agree with us, and you want to find somebody that really agree with you, you know, that really is on the same, you know, faith level as you, that will agree. We got to stop talking like it's not done.
Right.
Now it's time to rejoice. Yeah. It's done. Praise God. What do I do now? Well, thank God, right? Somebody completes a job for you. What do you say? Thanks. It's time to thank them, isn't it?
Yep.
Amen. Well, how many of God's our source, isn't he? This will be done by the Father. So who are we trusting in today? Are we trusting in God? Are we trusting in man? Are we expecting man to save us or man to bail us out? Or we trust in God? Now, God can use people. How many know that? God can use people, and he does use people. But they're just an avenue. They're not the source. God's the source. Hallelujah. God's the source. And he cares about big things. And he cares about little things because he's a big God. Sometimes they say, well, God's too big to care about that. No, because he's so big, he can care about big things and small things. I told you many times, man, this was years ago. I was in my early 20s at the time. We had a young man. I was in our church, you know, and he was probably 18. And the Lord spoke to my heart. I didn't hear an audible voice, but I heard this just as plain as you could hear an audible voice. It wasn't audible, but I heard on the inside of me, give him $78. Now, I don't know too many teenagers that won't take $78, especially in those days. That was a lot. We're talking about 1983, 84. That was a little bit more money in those days. Now, that's a couple sacks at McDonald's. And so, you know, I gave it to him. You know how teenagers are. They're cool. They're not going to go, oh, thank you. You know, they just cool. They just take it. I had no idea why. No idea. Did not know. 15 years later, I was preaching in a church for a pastor. 15 years later. And this lady comes up to me after the service. She says, you remember me? Well, I remember your face. I think I told her, but I couldn't remember her name. And she told me who she was. She says, do you remember that you one time gave my son Glenn $78? I said, oh, yeah, I remember that. She said, do you know what it was for? I said, no, I have no idea. She said, he wanted a class ring. He was a senior. He wanted a class ring that year. It cost $78, and we didn't have the money to buy it. I thought, well, God cares about class rings. Doesn't he? Now, I don't care about them. But God does. I never had one. I'm not scarred over it. Didn't want it. I didn't even get my senior pictures taken. I went to Florida instead. I didn't care. I knew what I looked like. I wasn't lost. Didn't need them on a wanted poster anyway. In those days, they could end up there. But see, it meant something to him. How many know it meant something to him? So it meant something to God. And God, I wasn't the source. I was just an avenue from the source. And it's always good to be used by the source. Hallelujah. God's got a source. Let me close by one last story. The Lord brought this to my mind. Back in the Bible, you know, you never know what God's up to. You just got to listen to His voice and obey Him, because you may be a source. You may be being used of the source. You may be an avenue for somebody's deliverance, healing, salvation, financial blessing. God's got multitude of ways. But years ago in the Bible, but back in Acts, I think it's chapter 8, Philip is having a great revival in the city of Samaria. I mean, there's an outpouring of the Holy Ghost going on. And the Lord tells him, go down to the desert. Now, that doesn't make any sense. I'm having a great meeting and you tell me to go to the desert? So he goes to the desert. And when he gets there, he sees a chariot parked. There's a guy in it. And the Lord says to him, join yourself to that chariot. So he goes over there to the chariot. And there's this guy. He is the treasurer for the queen of Ethiopia. It says in your Bible. Y'all looking at me like, where'd you get that story at? What book is that? It's called the Bible, Book of Acts. And so he's reading out of Isaiah chapter 53 about Jesus being our sacrifice. And Philip said, do you understand what you're reading? He says, how can I unless some man explain it to me? So Philip got up there with him, explained Isaiah chapter 53 to him, how that was Jesus dying for us at Calvary. The guy accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior and was baptized. Remember that? The Spirit caught Philip up and took him to another city once he came out of the water. And the eunuch saw him no more. Several years ago, Israel was bringing back the Ethiopian Jews, where this guy was from. And they were bringing them back, and they were building kibbutz, farming communities for them. And they were integrating back into the society, and they wanted them to be, you know, true Jews and, you know, receive Judaism and everything else. But the Ethiopian Jews wouldn't denounce Jesus Christ. They would say, you know, Jesus is Lord. And the government was going, no, you're back home now. No, forget all that. You're back home. And so Dr. Barclay was working over there with the Hebrew University, and they called him. And they said, you know what, this is what we're doing, and these Ethiopian Jews won't denounce Jesus. We're telling them, no, you're back home now. No, he's not the Messiah. You're back home now. He said, they will not give that up. Can you help us? Well, I mean, he isn't going to help. I mean, no, he's a Christian. He's not going to help them give that up. We can't figure out why they won't. He said, well, did you ask them? I said, well, no. He said, go ask them. So they went and asked him, and they came back and told Dr. Barclay, here's what they told us. They said, years ago, our queen, Candace, in Ethiopia, sent a eunuch into Israel, and a man by the name of Philip met him and explained the gospel to him, and he gave his life to Jesus Christ, and we still believe on Jesus to this day, and we still say Jesus is Lord, and we will not denounce Jesus as Lord. Dr. Barclay said, he said, I said this, Philip, I don't know if you can hear this or not, but this has got to be one of the greatest days of your life. Because 2,000 years ago, you heard a voice that said, join yourself to the chariot. And here we are 2,000 years later, Ethiopian Jews will not deny Jesus because of Philip. Hallelujah. That'll give you goosebumps. You know, that'll make you like, the next time the Lord says, go join yourself to that Honda. You're like, maybe I better obey. Because this may have bigger, repercussions. I shouldn't use a big word. Thank you, Angie. Repercussions. Bail your pastor out. Trying to use big words. I get all my big words from Pastor Jerry. He taught me plethora. But think about it. God's the source, right? Philip was just an avenue. He was a venue. He was a pipe for the source to flow through. Thank God he obeyed. Amen? Yeah. Did you get something? Yeah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's thank the Lord for His Word today.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.